record on this computer, so I'm going to do that.
Excellent.
All right, I'll so I'm recording, and you can record, and we're hoppy recorders.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm only saying that because Stanley has so much of information, and then I look at it and say, now how am I going to put it in sequence? So I'm just looking 10 steps ahead, making my life simpler.
Nice.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
All right. So what I'm going to share on screen share are some video clips, about 8 minutes worth, that give a very parallel example on a much smaller scale of what we're about to launch in November, all of us and anyone who wants to participate. And in the November context is, I'll just put it in very simple terms, saving, healing, and transforming life on Earth. That's how I'd put it. Stan, I'm sure you'd put it slightly differently. Malini, probably slightly differently. Shannon, you may say it exactly the same way. Doesn't matter. We all know what we're talking about here. Okay, and so it's as big as the entire planet, and actually probably far beyond that, because we have an important role to play in the universe. And so there's a lot on the table here. The example I'm about to show is of a much smaller thing, but it was also a planetary thing. What I'm talking about is the prohibition of drugs, right? We thought we learned our lesson in the late 20s, early 30s. We didn't. We've got all these drugs prohibited. And my old friend, former Mexican President Vicente Fox, who I'm sure you all know of, he was the biggest international critic of Trump from the get-go, right? He has, as we say in Mexico, the pantalones, you know, to take on Trump and say, you know, you're an idiot, right? Anyway, in very eloquent terms, we did the same thing to the previous president, and I'm going to show you an international press conference, well attended by Mexican, Canadian, American, that became the start of an international tour that we did that transformed the conversation of prohibition internationally. And this came at the early days of legalization in the state of Washington. So the scene is, the night President Obama was reelected for his second term, 2012, that same election, exact same ballot, all Washingtonians voted thumbs up or thumbs down on legalization of cannabis. The result was thumbs up, okay? So we got to work, and I was leading the charge on the commercial front in terms of creating an actual brand. Very fortunately, my great-grandfather, who you'll see a kind of an artistic image of on the wall behind us, if you look closely at different shots. My great-grandfather, Diego Pellicer, a Spaniard, was the largest grower of hemp in the world in the Victorian era. So, and he's also a very handsome man. You'll see, I can show pictures, but the bottom line is, I said, oh my God, you know, if I'm going to get into this, let me do it right. And so I created a brand based on my great-grandfather's legacy. The brand is called Diego Pellicer, right? And my old friend, President Fox, who I'd worked with 12, 13 years earlier on tearing down the digital divide in Mexico. I called him up and I said, Señor Presidente, we got a live one here. Come on up, bring your family. We'll spend a week in the San Juans and let's do a press conference that will change the course of history. Okay. Right? And he said, Seguro que sí. You know, boom. And next thing you know, a few details later, and we're sitting down together to tell the world something very similar to what we're going to tell them next month, proclaiming the network of networks. We proclaimed.
Bruce has to be in on this conversation. I'm sorry, but one of us, one of the chat people, has been very, those are words he likes to say all the time. I also say it. I publish a newsletter in 1980s. Called Other Networks. And I now have a website called Other Networks. And so I publish, it's a wiki, and I collect information about all the other networks I can find and catalog them and so on. And I started that with something called Wikidelphia, which was my effort to categorize my city, to catalog Philadelphia. So I have about 2,500 entries for Philadelphia, and now there's about 400 or 500 entries in other networks. I forget the number, but it just got started, and we're heading here in the right direction. The network of networks, definitely, absolutely. I've been talking about networks since 1969, when I heard the words Whole Earth Catalog. Okay, are you familiar with the Whole Earth Catalog?
Oh yeah, Jamin knows. Okay.
Right.
So, I know the founder. I know the founder and his wife and the whole crowd.
Wonderful.
I know that. I'm from the Bay Area. Anyway, back to you.
Right. Okay, great. So I heard the words Whole Earth Catalog on an acid trip and in 1969. And by 1970, I was running a storefront information store on South Street, which is Philadelphia's excuse for a Haight-Ashbury. And about 1,200 people met through my shop. I had a storefront called Everything for Everybody, based on a company in New York City of the same name. I went there to see what he was doing, and I asked him if I could do everything for everybody in Philadelphia. So I did that. I rented a storefront at Fifth and South for $100 a month. Back then, it was the real estate was real cheap. And I moved into the store, and I invited people to come in and tell me what they did and what they want and what they have to offer and what they need. And we'll put it all over the walls of the store. And they had to be a member. And I would write down, they would give me a name and address. I would put them on my little box, and you had to be a member to get the connection. So I did that for a couple of years, and then I burned out. But in the 80s, I picked up where I was. That was 1970 and 71 and 72. And in the 80s, I started publishing other networks newsletter and wrote to people all over the country and got newsletters from all over the country, and we were exchanging information. And yeah. And I met the people who wrote the book, the Networking, a First Report and Directory, and they gave me access to international networks, and I got online and ended up in the following years or so being the vice president of the Electronic Networking Association. And at the very first meeting of the Electronic Networking Association, some young kid named Joichi Ito was demonstrating how he wandered around the world and played games with kids all over the world because he was a super duper. You know who I'm talking about? Joichi Ito. Yes. Okay. So I met him when he was 19. I don't know him. He wouldn't know my name, but I sat behind him. I stood behind him with a half a dozen or a dozen other people over his shoulder while he took us on a tour of Telnet and all around the world by way of, and so that was the opening meeting of the Electronic Networking Association in 87 was when I ran the international conference of the Electronic Networking Association here in Philadelphia. And there you go. So can we've I been just thinking along the same lines for a very long time.
Okay. I just got to interject and say, Stan, you are who I want to be when I grow up.
Oh, well. You're already grown up. Don't worry about it.
I'll never grow up. But if I ever do, you're who I want to be.
Very good.
Am I glad I got the two of you together?
All right. I'm glad.
This is music to my ears.
Wonderful.
Listening to both of you interact.
Mm-hmm. No, Malini, get used to this music 24/7 because you're just hearing the first couple pops in a popcorn popper that's got like 10 gazillion seeds in it. 8 billion at last count.
Yeah. Well, I've been waiting for you for 40 years. You know that.
I've been waiting for you for 40 years.
No, but you're not alive 40 years. Right?
What's that?
Wait a minute. Yeah, you're just about.
I've been waiting for you.
He's old enough.
Huh?
He's old enough.
He's 68. How old does that make you?
I'm 52.
Okay, so yeah.
I'm finally an elder. I've broken through.
All right.
I'm north of 50.
Then
I'm old.
You're allowed to play in my playroom.
Thank you. Anyway, I would say that we were separated at birth, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe you're like the milkman I never knew or something like that. I don't know. But
it was a different kind of birth.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway,
yeah.
So, well, hallelujah that we're finally together. This is the beginning of the end of 12,000 years of solitude, because these very special imaginal cells, and I'm not going to puff us all up by trying to characterize us. Let's get beyond that. These very special imaginal cells, okay, are finally talking to each other. We've like found the frequency. Mm-hmm. And the more that we dance in that frequency all together, right, the more the floor shakes and the same frequency. Mm-hmm. And other imaginal cells who've been in their, you know, bedroom on Netflix start to wake up and hear the call. And then they start to dance at that frequency. And it's like, wait a second. Okay, we're all part of this cosmic, you know, what did they call those dances in the 90s? The rave dance, whatever the hell. You know, we're in one of those big cosmic pulsating dances. Okay.
Okay. Well, and, you show us a film.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Here goes, here goes. So the setting is 2013, summer 2013, beginning of summer. And this is the beginning of a multi-stop international tour to end prohibition. We start with a direct challenge to the Obama administration that you'll hear loud and clear. And it was so jarring what we did, but it worked. We forced the hand of the Obama administration. We hooked up with Uruguay in Mexico, and Uruguay became the first country to legalize. This is all history. I mean, you heard about this when it happened, right? So a lot of this will be familiar, but here goes. 8 minutes. Strap on your seatbelts. May 30th, 2013. Let's dial it back to the beginning. It all began. Is the audio okay?
I'm here.
Let me know if the audio is okay when you hear
it. I don't hear any audio from your...
It'll start in a second. It'll start in a second.
Okay. All right. Welcome, everyone.
I can hear
you. Thank you all for being here. Before I introduce our distinguished guests, I would like to begin with a quote from the late astrophysicist Carl Sagan. The illegality of cannabis is outrageous. An impediment to full utilization of a plant which helps produce the serenity and insight, sensitivity and fellowship so desperately needed in this increasingly mad and dangerous world. Carl Sagan. But by making cannabis illegal, we have instead turned it into a tool for violence, exploited by criminals and organized crime, spanning many countries. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a unique moment in history. The Berlin Wall of the prohibition of cannabis is weak, and it is crumbling as we speak. And just as happened in Berlin in 1989, the old guards who used to protect the wall of cannabis prohibition are laying down their weapons and walking away. What remains to be done is to safely and systematically dismantle the wall of prohibition and replace it with a system of laws, international agreements, regulations, and standards to ensure a prosperous and, above all else, safe cannabis industry. We are moving forward. The states of Washington and Colorado are leading the way. We have waited long enough for some sort of a green light from Washington, D.C., telling us that it is okay to proceed. In fact, the silence from our nation's capital has been deafening. We are moving forward with our plans to build a national and eventually international network of cannabis businesses spanning the production, processing, distribution, and retail of cannabis and cannabis-based products. Our network will span both the medical and the social use cannabis markets. As a first step in building this national network, as CEO of Diego Pellicer Incorporated, I am proud to announce that we have acquired the rights to the Northwest Patient Resource Center, headed by Mr. John Davis, who I will introduce shortly. We are also in the final stages of acquiring a smaller but equally professional chain of medical cannabis dispensaries in the great state of Colorado. With these acquisitions, along with other acquisitions in the works from California to Washington, we are creating the first national brand of retail cannabis. We have also created the first risk-mitigated investment vehicle for investing directly in this $100 billion industry, which is growing by the day. This is a crucial development which will enable us to expand our business model into new markets. Our expansion will be cautious and measured, as my colleague John Davis will discuss. Next, it is my pleasure and profound honor to introduce to you a man who has dedicated his life to transforming his country and our world into a more peaceful, loving, and prosperous planet. Ladies and gentlemen, I introduce to you the first freely elected president of Mexico, Señor Presidente.
Congratulations for that position. This state of Washington, has decided to lead a new path, a path to change the paradigm by legalizing medical and social use of cannabis. In Mexico, we welcome this initiative because the cost of the war in the case of Mexico is becoming unbearable. Too high for Mexico, LATAM, Latin America, and the rest of the world. The impact in the economy, on income, on tourism investment, loss of talent, and above all, loss of hope, and 80,000 kids dead in the last 6 years. All this because our neighbor to the north represents such a gigantic consumer market. We must get out of this trap, and here is the opportunity. Now, this group here is moving accordingly from words into plans, and from plans into action, and the action in the arena. To play the real game, this group must understand the need to make good, safe, and legal use of this new laws for the benefit of the people and the common good. I am here convinced of the need for change and the search for new avenues in this difficult and unresolved issue. I am here to witness a paradigmatic change. I have too many questions about the implementation of this new laws and regulations and how it will impact our countries and communities. This is an issue of strategic interest and concern around the world. This historic step today is to be observed and evaluated closely by all of us because it is a game changer.
I'll pause it right there. I think you've gotten, in those 8 minutes, you've gotten a good taste of it. It goes for an hour and a half, right? I mentioned the guy sitting to my left, to the right of me, the younger guy. I'm in between President Fox and another gentleman. That's John Davis. He is one of the foremost drug policy experts in the world and pioneer of the Northwest Patient Resource Center, one of the first medical chains of dispensaries that we acquired in that process. And he knows all the other drug policy experts in the world. They all talk to each other. They're all brilliant. Encyclopedic memory. He cites chapter and verse. I said, John, what, shortly after that press, John, what's the reaction of the drug policy community? He said, Jamin, let me tell you the reaction of the international drug policy community. Here's their reaction.
Okay. That's nice.
About time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Good.
Now let's dance between universes. Ending prohibition in 2013, ending 12,000 years of solitude and the destruction, the wholesale exponentiating destruction of life on Earth in 2020. Okay. So very parallel. We're going to do a press conference where we bring together the who's who. Oh yeah. I was mentioning after John Davis, three-star general Skip Dreps speaking out in support of veterans and their right to cannabis. Right. And to the left of President Fox, the gray-haired gentleman, Dr. Michael Osborne, president of the Strang Institute of Cancer Prevention in New York City. They're the ones who created the pap smear. The pre-surgery treatment, the diagnostic treatment that has saved more lives than any other in its category, period, for cancer. Okay, need I say more? Henry Wykowski, the leading cannabis attorney in San Francisco, who you probably know and have smoked with Stan. You know, I could go on and on, but it's the who's who, right? Of the big international hotshots. That was the beginning of an international tour that culminated in Mexico, that culminated in Uruguay legalizing, first country in the world to legalize. Thank you, Jose Mujica, national hero. Anyway, I could go on and on, but okay, so that's 2013. Here, it'll be a similar story, except instead of, you know, eight people, you know, eight white males sitting at a table, right? Each talking in turn in the old model, right? It's going to be mostly women, led by women. Malini, I'd love it if you were to kick it off if you're game. And, you know, and there you are sitting in Mumbai. It's not like you're, you know, an Indian sitting in Washington, D.C., all privileged and whatever. You're sitting in Mumbai, right? You're on the front lines. And if you don't know Dr. Silas Rao, you need to meet him at the first opportunity. Please come on Friday morning, 7 a.m. Pacific time. Anyway, we'll follow up on that. But I'll say it for the record. Everyone's invited. From 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific time and from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific time. 7 to 9 a.m. p.m., just like the mini mart. We meet on the topic of food healers. We're ending hunger. Mm-hmm. We're ending hunger worldwide. Okay. And that's a major, major pillar of all this. The major pillars in my mind, they're the four most urgent: ending hunger, cooling the planet. We have the technology to do that. Togetherness, which is what we're doing right now, Network of Networks, press conferences, togetherness. Okay. And the other is decommissioning nuclear of all forms. But those are just table stakes. Hey, you want to play in the game of life? These are table stakes. If we don't ante up all four of those different colored coins and push them into the middle of the table right now, there ain't going to be no game of life. It's just death at this point, certain death. And so let's ante up. And the way to ante up is to start with togetherness. And that starts with the press conference. It's actually already started. This boulder, this Raiders of the Lost Ark boulder is rolling, you know. So either become a part of it or get out of its way or get run over by it. You know, take your pick, but this is happening. And that was very much the spirit of the last press conference with President Fox. We're moving forward. Right. And so that's the message here. The Network of Networks is here. It exists. Da-da-da. Everyone will point back to the 2013 press conference and they'll say, wow, you know, homeboys have done this before. And now they've got home girls. Now they got a bunch of posse. Now there's 100 organizations. And they're saying this is the tip of the iceberg. And then if you go to the Network of Networks, you know, website, it needs to be decentralized. It needs to be on the blockchain. We'll get to that. Okay. Details. But in a nutshell, there will be a place where you can go and there's just a list of all the networks. and everyone can join the network. As long as you're not, you know, a triple X kiddie porn site, you can join the network. I speak in metaphors sometimes just to make the point, bam, and then, oh, wow, I get it. Okay, great. I kind of wish you didn't say that, but now I get the point, right? You know, we got to use shorthand here. We've got a lot to say in a very short period of time to say it. So we got to be brief. And with that, in the spirit of that, I'm going on mute.
Okay. Well, thank you. Yeah. We'll be here with you. I don't know whether I have anything actually to say, because I'm not much of a speaker. No, I'm a doer. I'm not a speaker. And I call myself an instigator. So I've managed to instigate this group of people who've been watching the chats, which is why I said we're not, we don't watch Humanity Rising. We participate.
Yes.
We're the chat people. And yes. I recognized the names in the chat in the middle of July when I, oh, geez, I'm seeing these same people. Because I'm saving the chats, and I'm wondering, let's go, why can't they save the chats and just let me have it? But they didn't want to do that. I spoke to people there. And so I said, well, I'm just going to keep saving the chats. And I decided to invite whoever wanted to watch, you know, whoever was reading the chats to meet with me on my Zoom channel, which is what we're on now. And 15 people showed up for the first day.
Yeah.
And I need to put the video for that on, because that's not been shared with anybody. I have the video from the very first day. And I think both of you were here, Melanie and Shannon, yeah. So the chat people are doing exactly what I wished for them to do. I couldn't have told anybody, oh, we're going to organize. We're going to figure out projects. We're going to do, I couldn't tell them. I just had to sit back and say, okay, you guys are here. Talk to each other. I'll record as best I can what it is that we're saying by recording the recordings and by publishing a kind of directory of all the, I've got from number 60, on to now. I have the chats from all those after chats or chat party, the after party.
The chats, the chats of Humanity Rising and the after parties from session 60, but the links to all the sessions are there, starting from the introduction to one. Jamin, you're talking about Silesh Rao, right? He's the vegan guy.
Yep, he's the big vegan guy. Yep.
Yeah.
And
okay. The big vegan guy. There are bigger vegan guys. He's one of the vegan guys who suddenly got to be heard more often than the others. I mean, I would put it in that perspective. We met him on Humanity Rising. He made a presentation. And I had quite a few issues with what he said. So anyway.
No, listen, I'm all about bringing people together. So I brought him together with Alan Savory, you know, the big sustainable meat guy. And they went at it head to head publicly. It's all recorded. This was on the very first. So Stan, very much in parallel with what you started here. I'll just share the image really quick. I started every Friday for 24 hours. We have a collective intelligence block party. And the idea was from the very get-go to just invite, listen, if you're doing anything remotely related to collective intelligence, togetherness, people coming together.
How come I haven't heard of you before? I don't understand this. This is terrible.
Criminal that I haven't heard of you before. But here's the thing, Stan. Let me tell you why we haven't heard of each other. It's because everyone's trying to create everyone's hoarding their damn business cards.
Yeah, well.
And so what we're doing next month with the press conference, it's going to be the business card revolution. Remember how Gandhi like burned all those cards of this and that? We're going to burn all the business cards and just say, you know what? It's time for us to come together in conversation. It's as simple as that. Mm-hmm. You know, quit hoarding contacts. I'm sure there's got to be a dozen people who've said, holy shit, Stan and Jamin are saying the same thing. Oh my God. But if I introduce them, I kind of cut myself out of the picture. So let me be the covalent bond, the silent covalent bond between Jamin and Stan. I mean, it's literally that absurd. It's literally that absurd. We've become petty.
Yeah.
It's a big turf war. And yeah. Stan, the reason why you haven't heard of each other is it was not time.
Right. There you go.
Yeah, I understand that.
It's always divine timing, not a millisecond before or a millisecond later.
Right. Very good. Yeah.
You're going to see it happen more and more and more and more and more.
Okay.
And wonderful. Melanie, I want to thank you for seeing the possibilities within situations and allowing spirit to flow through you, to bring Jamin, the jumping man, to Stan, the one who knows, because this is the weaving that was meant to happen. And yeah. I want to say that I write about the magic in ordinary moments. And I write about that because my life has been a series of very magical moments that could never have happened, except they have. And I am looking forward to seeing what unfolds. This is really quite exciting. And Jamin, the way that you express your excitement enlivens my excitement. And I am really tired of Jim's morning, you know, everything is doom and gloom. I'm really glad, Melanie, that you mentioned that. I really want to start talking about what's good. Yes. What's good? What are we looking for? What are we living for? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what are we? What is the one that we are?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. If I can just cut in, what just pukes me out about humanity, right? It's like, can we have the conversation already?
Yes.
Right, back to you, Shannon. Back to you.
Leslie and I have been working on my stuff because my writing is all about my own life. And it was mentioned that examples, that example is not the best way to influence people. It's the only way. That was mentioned earlier. Well, my life is an example of how to live by guidance, by allowing the uncomfortableness of a situation to propel you into the next. And as I saw you, Jamin, talking about the marijuana, the cannabis crisis, well, we have a new crisis, and that is how humanity rises through the crises. That is how life has evolved through crises, from single-celled animals all the way through. We are now in the crisis that will propel us into the butterfly, phoenix, dragon that we are, whatever it that is. And what is emerging at this time, we are watching ourselves emerge. Mm-hmm. And I'm really looking forward to, I'm redoing my website with Leslie helping me to put together a presentation in a couple or 3 weeks about my work. And it seems that it should be around the time that you are, and truly, this is what I think I'm doing. What I am really doing is I'm following guidance. And maybe I'm being put on hold again, being kept busy while the emergence is happening in a different way. I don't know. I'm just doing the best I can, expressing who I am and what is coming through me, like Stan does and like Melanie does. And Jamin, how you have exemplified how to work with systems and uncomfortableness. And so that is, I'm watching the magic rolling out, and it excites me. And
I'm glad you're here to witness this, because this is, you know, this is really something special.
This is what I came here for. This is happening all the time. I want people to see this. This is what will enable us to rise like the one that we are.
Yeah. Stan, well, this isn't the only thing. I mean, this, what we're happening, what's happening here now is going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. This guy is going to help it make it go a little quicker. We need that.
Yeah.
But it was going to happen anyway, and that's why I've known that this was going to happen for 40 years.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for it. Yeah. And I have an image in my head of what it will look like. It will be massive interconnections between, but you've heard of the book Here Comes Everybody? Jamin? No? The guy's name is Here Comes Everybody is exactly what the title of the book says. You don't really need to read much further than that. We have 7 billion people on this planet. They're all going to be able to talk to each other. Here comes everybody. Of course, it'll drive us nuts. All right, because you can't read. You can't talk to 7 billion people at once. But here comes everybody is a key factor in what's happening right now. Clay Shirky, he's worth watching him talk about his TED Talks on the future, which is happening now. Go ahead.
Stan, can you help me screen share? I want to share this because Jamin mentioned about the 12,000.
I don't have that power right now.
I can do it.
Oh, Shannon.
Shannon has the power.
Yes.
Except they can't.
The divine feminine has taken over.
That's right.
And by the way, that's one of our regular programs on the Block Party is the divine feminine. Back to you all.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Hey, host disabled participants screen sharing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Say yes.
Okay. Okay. I just, I don't know if you can you hear me, see me? Because I can't see myself.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. You know, you talked about the 12,000 years cycle and why now? And where do I go? Okay, this is my guru's guru, Sri Sri Yukteswar. A lot of people have heard about him. He wrote a 46-page book, which it is probably worth 46,000 pages because, you know, he's one of those guys who condensed everything. But he presented a theory, which was the theory of the yugas, which is the 26,000-year cycle. Where, you know, it there is a bit of a controversy over the BC timelines, which I'm working with a couple of astrophysicists and scientists on resolving this. They're very busy people. I'm the only one who has a lot of time on my hands, so I keep bugging them, where are we? But you know, they will either validate it or push it back and forward, but conceptually it remains the same. So this, the earth goes through this, you know, the cycle of this part is called the descending cycle, and this is the ascending cycle. And what happened is that this is the energy age. We are going back through the ascending cycle here. And what really is, to put this in a historical perspective, is that if you look at, assuming that we take this as the norm for now till it is reworked, what will be reworked is the 700 BC, 3100 BC, is that at every point of time, I mean, this was connecting the dots that I got to do and put together, was that you would see these markers that happen. And 1900s was the discovery of electronics, right? And it came in. And the reason why this is happening now is because we are moving into this segment. Now, there is a lot of technology waiting to be revealed. I don't think we should ever believe we are discovering technology because there is nothing new under the face of the sun. We are revealed technologies at appropriate times. But this time, what is being repeatedly given to me in various meditations is that until and unless we hit critical mass of humanity going into the heart, all these technologies that are there for humans living in synergy and harmony with their environment, with one another, and with others will not be revealed. Because the last time this was revealed, when the atom, the secret, you know, the secret of the atom was given somewhere here.
Yeah, and Einstein's theory came out right there.
Yeah, right there. Yeah. And what did we do? We went and developed an atomic bomb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this time we've been told that, yes, it's all there waiting to be revealed, but you need to get your backsides into the heart right. You have to move out of the head, move into the heart. And if you see, this was the eras of colonized, this entire Kali Yuga that, you know, Hinduism talks about without understanding what they're talking about. And the beauty is, poor Sri Yukteswar, he kept screaming himself hoarse, and everybody said he was gaga and didn't know what he was talking about. But this is absolutely why now everything is changing. Why now we are in this moment, and why Jamian and Stan, you guys are meeting, and why this creation of your networks is happening. But we don't go into the heart, we are going to stagnate, because the time cycle will not stop. It will move forward. It's just that planet Earth, we might just get left behind and wait for the next time cycle for us to come back, which is going to be another 12,000 years. So we need to get our act together, which is why I said what I said today, that if we don't get, and I was going to actually send an email to you, Stan, but since Stan, Shannon, you know, you guys are such soul buddies, is that I've been given a good kick in the butt. In yesterday's, I had a meditation session till 4:30 in the morning with a beautiful soul in Australia who is going through a very traumatic situation in her life. And she reached out to me and I said, okay. So, and after that session, I was given such a kick in the butt, and I was told, you were given a mission and you were given a path. What the bloody hell are you doing wasting your time on brain candy? You know, and although I love Anthony Judge's work, I love, love, love him. Thank you so much, Stan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He is still brain candy.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to get, and I was told, in fact, when I talked to Jim and I told him, you have to give me a platform because by September, I have to reach 10% of the population. If you remember, we discussed this very, very in the, you know, first or second session, Stan, if you remember, I talked to you about 1% and you said 1% is too small a number. And I was told by September, reach out. And then yesterday I got this message, you're wasting my time. I said, oh my God, I'm wasting your time. You're wasting my time.
Who said that?
Get to that 10%. Oh. Well, sure. The guy who keeps giving me, guy or girl or it, that keeps giving me kicks in the butt and giving me directions. That's one place I've stopped questioning. I've been kicked around quite a bit.
And it's not a male or female.
It's not.
Melanie, it's not, because that's what we came here to experience. It's not what is experienced once the rising happens. The male-female thing, same yin-yang, all of this was designed to provide us with the learning process that is necessary in order for us to learn the wisdom of a God.
Okay. Yeah. You've met Nirmalan, right? You spent some time with him recently. Malini, you've met Nirmalan?
Yes. Yeah, okay. I've been talking
Nirmalan
to him a lot.
And I have a mutual friend who I introduced her to him. I met her through the wise wisdom guys, Rebel Wisdom. They had a conference last May. And you were there? Okay. Yeah, well, Rebel Wisdom is really good. But
I like their stuff. I watch all their videos.
Yeah.
I wasn't there, but I love their stuff.
That's right.
I love all their stuff except for one thing, but we'll get to that later.
They only have men on their programs.
Yeah, and And we're not international enough, even, you know, here. We're certainly not international enough. There's not enough color amongst us. We don't have any Native Americans on the Chat people, except for Mushin, but he's not. He's German.
Yeah.
I raised his cause with my roommate, and I'm waiting to get permission to contact the chiefs of the Lakota and make sure that we have enough information to know what they need, because she's been quiet about it. My housemate is seeing one of the Lakota people. And
is it so difficult to reach out to the indigenous leaders?
It depends. I mean, I have to go through my housemate.
Damon, you were saying something.
So
my uncle and auntie within the Lakota First Nation, Pine Ridge, South Dakota, mm-hmm. are Auntie Deborah and Uncle Alex Whiteplume, mm. famous, well-known elders who have spoken at the United Nations in Geneva.
Okay.
I traveled with them to Standing Rock.
Okay.
And I can tell you firsthand, when I first met Uncle Alex, who's now my uncle, when I first met him, it was not a warm reception.
Mm.
They're not like, oh, some, you know... You know,
right. Well, that's
guy. Great. Give me right. a hug.
Yeah. No, that's the reaction I got from my Jesus Christ.
The brain's gone.
Yes,
Stan.
The brain is gone. It doesn't work. It's all fried. This is a woman that has lived in my house for the last 5 years. So, okay, I had to remember that.
You know, Jamian, the same thing happens in India because of our caste system. Mm-hmm. And when you walk into tribal villages, or even when you walk into the villages, you are not accepted. You are looked at with suspect. But that is very natural. You have to, and the first thing in India that they do when you go into a village to test you is they'll give you a glass of water. And you know, water is the biggest source of any contamination. And you just pray that God is on your side and you drink it. If you say, no, I'm not thirsty, or if you make the mistake of pulling the bottle out from your bag, you've just brought one brick wall down. So there are ways and means, but you can always bridge it. But I have seen that when you go in with, and it's a different thing because in India, it is always the question of the economics of it. Are they here to make money out of us? Are they here to, you know, supposedly help us but benefit 10 times more? Because that's what people have been doing. They've been using these tribes and these villagers as sources of getting funding and then, you know, all that rubbish that goes on. But the couple of things, you sit on the ground with them, you drink the water they give you, and you eat whatever they make. You've got an ally for life because they are such clear-hearted, pure souls, clean-minded people, you know, mm-hmm. and that's why they get taken advantage of. So there will be barriers, but there's always a way around. You need to find out what is that one thing that makes you instantly acceptable. I made a lot of mistakes. I, you know, and learned that, okay, if they give you a glass of water, just shut up and drink it and say thank you. Whatever the water is. And then 3 days later, they'll tell you, you know, we gave you very dirty water. You just pray and hope that nothing happens to you. But it usually doesn't. You know, there is a greater force taking care of all of us. Some way or the other. So we should be able to reach out. You know, Robin Youngblood was here, and there are so many people in the field.
Yeah, Phil Lane was twice. And and he's doing some interesting work, but I'm not clear on just what it is, but he's building relationships all across the country.
Oh, he is doing fabulous work.
I have been following him pretty well because he was there at my awakening, basically. He was in Rotterdam when I was there with the Synergy Hub. We planted a unitree in Rotterdam. I appreciate his guiding principles. He's got some really healing ideas that he has come up with in consultation with other Indigenous leaders. And I'm confident that what is happening is the big ball rolling, and it's rolling in a good way. Mm-hmm. And I need to go now. And it's been such a pleasure to be a part of this. And I look forward to what?
You know, Shannon, just before you leave, I wonder why, of all people, Drunville of Melchizedek is not figuring anywhere. Because he started actually pulling together, you know, the East and the West and the thing. I don't understand why. He's very old. He doesn't want to get into...
Melanie, as far as Drunvalo is concerned, I know of him. I don't know him.
I'm a student of his.
Yeah, well, as a student of his, why don't you ask him that question?
He will not go meeting people. I mean, if people reach out to him, he will...
And he's old. Maybe that's the case, you know?
Yeah.
You know, we've got to give, the river of time sweeps us all forward. I'm going with.
Okay.
Bye. I also need to go.
Love you, Shannon. Great to see you.
Very much. I look forward. Oh, yeah. It says end meeting. How do I do this without
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Yeah. You should be able to leave.
I should be able
to leave and give me the host back.
Exit full screen. Maybe that'll give me what I need. I'm going to make Stan S'more, make host, change host, leave.
I am now the host, it says on my screen.
Excellent. Yes. Now I should be able to leave.
You can leave.
Bye, y'all.
Bye. See you soon, Shannon.
So we don't have contact information shared yet.
I put mine in the chat.
All I see is your name, jumping Jamin. That's all
if
I have.
So far. Right above that. Here, I'll copy and paste it. It's right above that.
Okay. Well, I don't have it yet.
Right there it is. You see that?
I see it now. Yep. Email and a phone number. Good. Excellent.
Now, I'm also going to put here the website, theconversation.cc, because right there on the home page is a Zoom link, which is also 24/7. And so, yeah, Stan, you and I have been on such parallel tracks.
That's weird.
I'm going to get down on my knees and propose to you.
Let's get married.
With Malini as my witness. I'm
Yes, and the priest. And the priest.
High priest. Okay. So high priestess. So with the divine feminine present, Stan, I hereby propose that we merge our networks into one single 24/7 network of everybody. We can call it Here Comes Everybody.
Here Comes Everybody.
In honor of that, I love the title. It says it all. Mm-hmm. I don't even need to read the book. And what we're doing now is we're manifesting it. We're simply bringing it right into existence. It's in the right of perfect timing. The singularity is here because here's what I'm seeing, Stan. Mm-hmm. Bring your networks, Malini's networks, and my networks together. It's going to be a party that will never stop.
That's great. That's what we need.
Like, for example, without even mentioning his name, I know that you must know my buddy, Michael Gosney. I just know that you guys already know each other. You don't know Michael Gosney? Okay, no. This is a crime against humanity.
Okay, well, we
you
like
don't
that.
Know Michael Gosney. Okay.
Okay. I don't know a lot of people. I've been very quiet, okay? I spent the last 20 years running a computer refurbishing organization. I made a decision in in the 80s when I was publishing my newsletter that I can't be on the world stage and do something local because I had to support myself and I had to pay attention if I was going to run an organization and build up a computer training program. I couldn't be running around the world and going to all these conferences and stuff. So I just backed off. And now I'm very sad because the person that guided me forward into that Electronic Networking Association passed away 2 years ago. And other people have been just like, they're dropping like flies. And we lost Larry Victor last year. And Larry was a networker of networkers. And until now, when I started other networks' website, I haven't really been very active in an international way, or a national way, for that matter. I've been publishing Wikidelphia since 2011, and Wikidelphia is an expense for me because I pay a friend to work for me on it, and I pay for the, and I don't have a whole lot of extra resources, so I have only so much time, and I only have so much energy because I'm like, okay, I'm 74 years old, and it's not helping to be old, to be active. I mean, I wish I could, but I have to be real careful about how I spend my non-sleep time. Yeah. we're gonna hook up. I mean, this is a fun thing, and you're really interesting. I mean, my God. Let's marry each other and do stuff. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Right. All right.
So you're gonna send me the conversation.cc. Okay. And
this is what in India. India, yeah. We call match made in heaven.
Okay. Yeah, I need to hit an enter carriage return and put my phone number in here. All right. So now you have my phone number and Community Magic. Other networks is supposed to be one word, and Wikidelphia is the other website, but they're mentioned. If you go on Community Magic or other networks, you'll see all three of them. And what I have done, the magic of my project is in the category system, which I was trying to explain to Malini yesterday, and she told me I should do a Dewey Decimal, and I said no, I'm sorry, that's not clever enough. We need a much more flexible kind of category system. So if you will look at my category system and see, I haven't gotten anybody who really knows what they're doing, what they know, to look at it and say it's great. So I'm waiting for somebody who actually, and I have asked my friend who I started Other Networks newsletter with back in the 80s. He went to library school. We lost touch. He left the library school, and now he works with the American Friends Service Committee, doing what I turned him on to, which was a social network analysis. Do you know what social network analysis is? Okay, well, social network analysis, do you know Harry Seldon? Do you know science fiction story, Isaac Asimov, not Isaac Asimov. Hello? I didn't, because I'm still in a meeting that went on and on and on and on. So you're outside? All right, hang on there. I didn't do what I needed to do with it. But all right, I'll bring it down anyway. And no, I mean, you need it. Your granddaughter needs it. I mean, okay. So I missed a step here. I need to go.
Okay,
So I don't remember what I was saying, but whatever it was not important because I forgot. all right, what I have is zero capacity to remember what I just said. Okay, so you were talking about people being able to rattle off the names of people all over the world. I don't know anybody. And I can't even remember the people that live in my own house. So that's where my brain is going. It's down the tubes. But the category system, that's what I was talking about.
I'm looking at the homepage. I love it. I love the way you've laid it out.
All right.
And I'm just going to say one word, Wixonomy. It's something I developed when I was at Microsoft. It's a mashup between Wiki and taxonomy.
Nice.
And it's a system of systems, just like we got a network of networks. Anyway, we'll talk about that later. But, I got your back.
Let's keep it going. And I need to go and fix up a computer for my friend's granddaughter.
Well, isn't that just like you, Stan? We get married and then you leave me hanging at the altar.
I'm sorry.
You know, what am I supposed to do? Go out to lunch with Malini now? Anyway, this is ridiculous. Okay, love you, Stan. And we'll be.
Bye-bye.
Okay, I need to leave too. It's all right.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to hit the end button.
The priestess is leaving me at the altar.
Yes.
All right. Okay.
I'm going to hit the end button.
Love you all.
And this is going to be recorded. And we'll continue when we get together. I got your, let me make sure this is saved in the chat. Save chat. Okay. This chat is saved. Jamin, nice to meet you.
Great.
Thank you, Malini, for bringing us together. This is obviously a momentous occasion. You know that. All right.
Yes.
Bye.
I'm so glad I did.
See you.
You did a great thing.
See you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Bye. Bye.